morning, Wright State University, and welcome to the Wright Morning Show on WWSU. Start your day the right way with us. We will be covering current events in the news, local, national, and from Wright State. We will provide a daily dose of inspiration and positivity to lighten your day. And we will have a special feature depending on the day of the week. So grab your tea or your coffee, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wright Morning Show. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of the Wright Morning Show on WWSU 106.9. It is Wednesday, October the 6th, 2021, on WWSU Radio. In the studio with me, I have Jamie from the Guardian Media Group. How are you doing this morning, Jamie?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for asking.
Awesome, awesome. We might have Harmony joining us. She has not yet called in. As soon as I said that, she is calling in. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am awake.
Awesome. So we got Harmony joining on the phone line for the Wright Morning Show. With that being said, let us begin our current events. So we will begin with Dayton, Oregon District Restaurant Owners Uptown Centerville plan has been okayed, according to the Dayton Daily News. You can read more from Dayton Daily. From WHIO, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is to conduct fighter jet training this morning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Look out.
That's going to be super loud because White State is so close to the base.
Right.
Sonic boom.
So some Miami Valley residents could hear fighter jets from the Ohio Air National Guard today while they conduct training. Fighter jets from the 180th Fighter Wing based in the Toledo area are testing the Aerospace Control Alert System from 8 a.m. until about 10:30 a.m. Anyone living in and around Dayton, Middletown, Springfield, and Marysville could see or hear the jets during the training, according to a spokesperson for the Ohio Air National Guard. Aerospace control is used for maintaining air sovereignty and air defense through the surveillance and control of airspace over Canada and the U.S., a spokesperson said in a media release.
I think that's what I heard flying over at 6:30 this morning.
Maybe. From WHIO, deputies searching for a Greene County inmate who took corrections officer's uniform escaped custody. Uh-oh.
Oops.
Deputies are currently searching for a Greene County jail inmate who walked away from a work detail and has not been accounted for since 1 p.m. Tuesday, according to a spokesperson for the Greene County Sheriff's Office. Deputies are looking for Adriel Parks Sr., 43, who was last seen in the downtown Xenia area. Deputy said it appears Parks took a corrections officer uniform and could still be wearing it. He's described as a white man around 6 feet 2 inches tall with brown hair and brown eyes. Deputies ask if you see Parks to call 911 immediately. You can read more at WHIO about that. From the Springfield News Song, Wright-Patterson and Springfield Air Base are part of a $40 billion overall economic impact on Ohio, which will have a $19.4 billion gross economic impact, helping support 103,000 jobs, according to statewide analysis. The analysis shows statewide federal and military installations like the Springfield Air National Guard Base have nearly $70 billion in gross impact on Ohio's economy and support more than 380,000 jobs. Military and federal spending support about 6% of the state's overall economy. For more information and a table of those economic impacts by industry, you could go to springfieldnewsun.com. From WDTN, are you starting a business? Staff at a new Dayton establishment can help you. The Fire Blocks District is getting a new business that will help set aspiring entrepreneurs up for success. Dane Entrepreneur Community Event Planner Ty Winston opened the doors to the Entrepreneurs Connection Tuesday evening in hopes of guiding others through the complex startup process. "I was an entrepreneur at one time that didn't have help and there was no one," she said. "I had to read up on things and I was self-taught. I kind of don't want entrepreneurs that are coming out today to have to deal with what I did, so I'm just trying to bridge that gap and be that support person that they've been needing." The facility includes classrooms, a co-working space, a podcasting room, and a cafe.
Nice.
There you go, Harmony.
Yeah, I know.
For more information, you could go to WDTN.com. Dayton Daily News has an article on the four finalists for the Dayton's top cop job, so check that out. From WHIO, four are injured after a crash at Greene County. I remember reading about this last night because I was hearing a bunch of sirens and then realized that there was a crash. Actually, this is a different crash. So four people were injured after a crash in Greene County. According to Trooper Jason Whitner with the Ohio State Highway Patrol, the crash happened after a vehicle failed to yield at a stop sign on Bath Road and pulled into State Route 4. This is a different crash. There was one on I-75 last night as well. The vehicle was then struck by another vehicle traveling southbound. Four injuries reported, including three minor and one serious but non-life-threatening. Let's see here. WDTN, Beaver Creek residents are to receive over 100 free trees. Hundreds of trees will be given to Beaver Creek residents on Sunday, October 23rd, to help the area recover from the Memorial Day tornadoes. State Farm pledged $1 million to the Arbor Day Foundation as part of a joint effort to help areas affected by natural disasters recover. Trees can help make communities more resilient in the face of extreme weather, said Mary Kay Quist, State Farm's Vice President of Agency Sales. Residents could choose from four tree varieties: red maple, Schumard red oak, northern white cedar, and Kentucky coffee tree.
Take the oak.
Oak trees are very strong.
Sturdy,
that's for sure.
Very yeah. Sturdy, yeah. Maples, their roots are like up on the ground, so not so much, but yeah.
I'm gonna pass the mic now over to Jamie for some local news. Jamie, what do you got for us?
Let's see. So, I thought this one was pretty cool. New Wright Brothers look-alike airplane being tested locally before soaring worldwide.
Nice.
A recreation of history will soar above local skies before it takes off at other destinations worldwide. All-volunteer, not-for-profit corporation Wright B. Flyer completed its first test of a new Wright B. Flyer look-alike airplane at the Dayton Wright Brothers Airport in Miami Township on Saturday. The flight is a result of the five-year project to build a new Wright look-alike airplane for educational and interpretive purposes, according to Don Adams, the organization's president. So if you want to read more about that, that's also on Dayton Daily News. But I thought that was very cool.
Very, very cool, yeah.
I know, like, there's a replica of the airplane in the Paul Lawrence Dunbar Library here on campus. So we're definitely a plane community.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I got some from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, if you would like me to jump
ahead.
In, because I just realized that they are conducting major emergency exercises this week. From WHIO, they will be conducting a scheduled major emergency management exercise. The 88th Air Base Wings Inspection Team will evaluate exercise response throughout Wright-Patterson Air Force Base on Thursday, a Wright-Patterson Air Force Base spokesperson said in a media release. Surrounding communities may hear the sirens or giant voice and are advised it is part of the training exercise unless otherwise noted, the release said.
Oh boy.
Other potential exercise impacts include smoke and fire effects may be employed at the simulated accident location. Emergency response vehicles will be moving around the base. There may be a little bit of travel congestion. Some roadways may be temporarily blocked. Gate traffic could be backed up or rerouted to other entry-level points if a gate is closed, and increased security measures. Right, Pat? Officials are reminding the public that if they hear or experience some of the mentioned effects, that it is a part of the exercise and training event, and they should not call 911 unless, of course, it's an actual emergency.
That All sounds right. just, like, really intense.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is, like, a drill for cleaning up an accident or something, from the sounds of it.
Not necessarily, but yeah, whatever you say.
I'm not entirely sure, but like they said, smoke at an simulated accident location.
Accident scene. Yeah, well, it's not necessarily what most people would think. Most people out there probably think it may be car accident or something.
It might be like a building,
but it's
or
more. Yeah, I would say it's more structural than anything. And of course, you know, I mean, right, Pat always does, you know, exercises tactically and all that other stuff off and on. Just, you know, everybody has to. I mean, it's kind of like when you went to school and you had to do the fire drills to make sure everybody got quick enough out. I can't talk. Oh, my God. Got out quick enough. So for the most part, it's more or less just in case something like major happens, they're prepared.
Yeah.
Which, like any other airbase in the world, you know, everybody's got to do their training.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you think back to, like, what was it, like, a month ago when they actually did have, like, that major, like, lockdown?
The active shooter situation.
Like, you got to be prepared for that.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Got to go through your dress rehearsals just in case.
There were, fortunately, there were no shooters. But they did say that the threat was credible. So I guess that means, like, something that happened there was definitely perceived
as it. Yeah, definitely potential for it.
Dayton.com says that Stomp is returning to Dayton next week.
Ooh, nice.
This is pretty big news because I know several people who are fans of Stomp. They're returning to the Victoria Theater on October 15th through 17th as courtesy of Dayton Live Project's Unlimited Star Attractions. So be sure to check that out.
I think I have the article pulled up that you were trying to talk about earlier, Pat. The Dayton, Oregon District Restaurant Owners Uptown Centerville plan okayed. Plans for a 149-seat restaurant owned by the executive chef of a popular upscale Dayton, Oregon District business are moving forward in Uptown Centerville. A proposal for the Manor Restaurant and Bar that Sarslaw Restaurant and Lounge co-owner Margaret Blondin, sorry if I mispronounce any of these names, wants to open by combining two historic West Franklin Street buildings, was accepted by a Centerville board Tuesday night. The city's Board of Architectural Review voted 5-0 in favor of a major site plan for the restaurant, which initially was called La Bar. That is so cool. It looks like it's going to be like this major ordeal.
Yeah.
149 seats. That's a lot of dinos.
That's a lot.
Okay, I found the I-75 crash article. One person was taken to the hospital Tuesday night, according to WHIO, after two crashes were reported on Interstate 75 near Nemours Road. Oh, it was two of them. Each crash involved one semi and one car, according to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. That's not good when there's a semi involved.
No.
The crash happened around 11:30 p.m. and caused backups on the interstate for about 2 hours. One person was taken to the hospital with minor injuries, but that was it. Okay. Not too bad. Ooh, exciting news about the 11th Pavilion. They have the highest attendance in the year 2021 of the 3 years that they've been operating. And I could see that because when I passed by Levitt Pavilion several times on the bus, it was packed over there when they had events. So the Levitt Pavilion is becoming a popular place to go. I think now we should go into global and national news. Jamie, I'll have you cover the New York Times, and then I'll cover Cheddar Need to Know, if that's all right with you.
That is cool. So this is from the New York Times morning newsletter. It talked a lot first about COVID-19 testing and just efforts that the government is doing to make rapid testing and like those at-home testing kits that you normally get at CVS and whatnot more accessible to people here in the States, because apparently they're not very accessible. So I thought that was like really interesting. It's a very long article, so if you like, you can go on to the New York Times website and read that. Some highlights here: AstraZeneca asked the FDA to authorize an antibody treatment that had reduced the risk of symptomatic COVID by 77% in a trial. Also, more in COVID news, depression, anxiety fell in early 2021, but had been more common during the pandemic than before, the CDC reports. That, I'm not too surprised.
Yeah. Like, when you got people who are locked up inside because of the pandemic and don't really have anything to do, I could definitely see. I mean, even I felt a little bit more depressed during the lockdown and during the pandemic. So, I could see that.
I could see that. Yeah, with all the, like, jobs, like, trouble that has been happening and whatnot. So, yeah. Alrighty. Dr. Francis Collins, who has led the National Institutes of Health under three presidents, will step down. So that's interesting. Then they have a little bit here about the
Facebook
whistleblower ordeal. Francis Haugen, the Facebook whistleblower, told a Senate panel that the company had ignored its harmful effects on young people in pursuit of profit. Mark Zuckerberg rebutted the claims.
I want to interject for a moment here. Democracy Now! On yesterday's edition of the podcast had an interview with, I can't remember if it was the whistleblower herself or if it was somebody else, but they talked about the effects of specifically Instagram on teen suicides, and that according to a recent research, teens who use Instagram have about a 17% higher chance of attempting suicide or developing an eating disorder.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I did a little bit of research on like social media and its effects on people back in the winter when I did an article. I believe it was for The Guardian. It was titled like social media and how it affects politics. It definitely was interesting. So to see like kind of how that research has panned out.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's social media has also become more prominent now because of the pandemic, because of lockdown and whatnot. That's how people stay connected. That's how people like people are relying on that more now, I feel like, than in general.
Yeah.
So very interesting. Okay, moving on to the debt ceiling situation that is happening, which is kind of important. This is from The Times. President Biden said curbing the Senate filibuster to raise the debt limit was a real possibility. And then, let's see, I had another article about the debt ceiling pulled up from the Washington Post here, and it says, five ways this debt ceiling standoff could end. And then this is a direct quote from the article. There's no clear resolution in sight for the debt ceiling standoff in Washington, though one is needed fast so that the United States does not default on its loan and plunge into recession. Congress is running out of time to solve this. On Wednesday, Senate Republicans will likely block another Democratic attempt to raise the debt ceiling. It will be the third time to block this in 2 weeks. President Biden on Monday said he can't promise that the United States would avoid defaulting on its loans. Treasury Secretary Janet L. Yellen says the country has until about October 18th to avoid the default. And then
oh God,
they just
the
go
last day of Mercury retrograde.
And then they just like go into some possibilities like getting rid of the filibuster, getting rid of the debt ceiling altogether, avoiding partial default.
Oof, It's the struggle there in Congress right now.
It is. Well, I feel
the views and opinions of Harmony don't reflect WWSU Radio or its entities. I say let's knock their paychecks down a little bit. They need a little bit of push room there, and if they did that, that would definitely help things out. And if we had a stop on some foolish spending, we'd be just fine. There'd be more than enough.
Well, I think it's called the Pandora Papers that were released recently, but they talk about how a lot of companies are trying to swindle tax money. If there was a way to stop that, then they could use the tax money to help cover some of the debt.
Well, here you go. Stop making people pay freaking taxes, because they're not really supposed to be up. And it was something that was done a long time ago. I'll have to look it up again, but it's definitely interesting on how taxation came about. But, you know, if they didn't charge so friggin' much, then people wouldn't be doing all the stuff that they're doing. That's the problem. Yeah, if you think about it, I mean, there's a lot of aspects that play into it, but that's a whole nother show. Yeah.
I just feel like it's so high that, like, they're never probably ever going to be able to pay it off because, we're talking about, like, trillions of dollars here. So I just feel like they need to find a way where it's, like, stable again. But it's kind of funny because they're, like, every, like, recent college graduate trying to pay the loans.
Yeah. All right. Shall I go with Cheddar Need to Know?
Sure.
All right, Facebook is under fire, not a surprise. From The Verge, Mark Zuckerberg is hitting back at claims made by the Facebook whistleblower that the social media giant prioritizes profits over the health of its billions of users and regularly promotes hateful content intended to keep those users hooked. Frances Haugen testified in front of Congress and laid the blame for what she called choices that go against the common good directly at the feet of Zuckerberg. He responded in a letter to employees saying Huggins' claims just aren't true and don't make any sense. Right, so research does not make any sense, huh, Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg should really turn to his Facebook moderators, because his Facebook moderators have stories that they could tell about a lot of the stuff that they have to sift through on Facebook. I believe there was a documentary by one of the Facebook moderators released on YouTube about what they had to go through. It is crazy. All right, so could the U.S. Treasury mint a $1 trillion coin to avoid a federal debt default?
I would like to see that.
If Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling in time. The idea has been gaining traction in some policy circles as a way to get around the possibility of a catastrophic default. In theory, the U.S. Mint could strike a single platinum coin, give it a $1 trillion value, and immediately deposit into the Fed. The government would then have enough money to pay its bills without needing Congress. The White House has ruled out the idea, and the Treasury Secretary called it a gimmick. But the fact that they've even weighed it shows that mint the coin movement has entered the mainstream.
Like, what would that even look like? Like, that would have to be a large coin.
My fear is that it would drastically increase inflation, too. Like,
well, yeah,
drastically.
Hyperinflation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how would you, like, I wonder, like, even, like, how much metal would go into.
Yeah, because you're going, unless if you actually find $1 trillion worth of metal or something to put into that coin, you're going to have hyperinflation if you try and mint that thing.
Yeah, that would be
$1 trillion is a lot.
Just be like show up like, I got $1 trillion coin. That would be hilarious.
That'd be like a huge platinum statue or something like that, or maybe even bigger than that.
Talk about a hole in your pocket.
Like,
yeah.
Just to like go up to the bank, got my coin.
You have a whole other like backside to yourself if you had that in your pocket.
Do you have a slot on this ATM machine for $1 trillion platinum coins?
Can't get a Coke today. Don't have my $1 trillion coin on me.
I can't get a $1 trillion Coke today.
Oh, that would be interesting.
China's Air Force, according to Foreign Affairs, have been flying a record number of jets over Taiwan in the last several days ahead of the island's National Day celebrations this week. Beijing's increasingly aggressive posture toward Taiwan, which considers itself a sovereign nation, is raising geopolitical concerns that China could be preparing a military confrontation.
No.
The White House has warned China over its provocations, and Taiwan's president said there would be catastrophic consequences if China were to invade. J.P. Morgan Chase, the largest bank in the U.S., probably also the reason why you get frustrated every time you look at your mail, is banning business travel and in-person meetings for unvaccinated corporate employees effective immediately. Starting next year, unvaccinated employees will also have to pay for the COVID test that will be required to regularly take in the form of payroll deductions.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah. Uh-oh, we got another strike. So yesterday we talked about the Hollywood strike. Apparently now there's a Kellogg's strike.
Oh, God.
Like the cereal?
The cereal, yeah.
Oh.
From NPR, workers at all of Kellogg's U.S. cereal plants have gone on strike, halting production of Frosted Flakes, Rice Krispies, and other brands indefinitely. Looks like you're going to have to turn to another cereal, breakfast item. Time to crack out those croissants.
Did you literally just say croissant?
Croissant, yeah.
As a person who speaks French, that low-key like caught my heart, but that's fine.
The union is at an impasse with the company over pay and benefits and says its members have had to put in 12-hour days, 7 days a week during the pandemic. Workers at Frito-Lay and Nabisco also recently went on strike over similar issues. Well, there goes the crescents.
No more corn chips.
Oh, they call it crescents.
Oh, what?
Like, Pillsbury calls it crescents. And I'm like...
Croissant.
Like, what? Croissant.
It's not a moon, it's a biscuit.
As well as protesting plans to make some... to move some production to Mexico. The Red Sox put an end to the Yankee season in a 6-2 thumping at Fenway to take the American League wildcard game. Boston, which now has eliminated New York in each of their last three postseason meets, will go on to play red-hot Tampa Bay in the division series. The Dodgers and Cardinals play tonight for the National League wildcard. All right. Well, that concludes today's current events. So we're going to go ahead and take a break on the morning show. And when we come back, we're going to get into our daily dose of inspiration. Today, we're going to be talking about the Japanese idea of wabi-sabi, a different way, a different and simplistic way to look at life. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to The Rhett Morning Show on WWSU 106.9 FM. Don't go anywhere.